12 minutes past the hour of 7. Joining us on the line, the awesome Tanya Khoury. Tanya, how have you been?
A very good morning to the Morning Mayhem team.
How are you? What do you think of that line? You should be kissed by someone who knows how.
It just shows you how cinematic experience has moved on. I mean, talk about patriarchy in its greatest form.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine that pickup line working today. I mean,
you don't score, guys.
No,
if you
exactly.
Use that line,
but
so
you,
don't try it.
But you will get a glass of Chardonnay in your face.
Exactly. Or worse, Howard. Or worse.
Okay, so Tanya, you have to have been working in overdrive this last week.
Oh. Oh my word, guys. Are you electioned out?
Yes, actually. I don't
I'm
know. Lindy's
so
not.
I'm so sick
no.
of it.
Lindy's not.
Last night's DA stunt, I don't know, rejuvenated me.
They were cheeky.
Oh, what did they do last night? I missed it.
No,
what did they do?
Oh, so it's the first time I think
they
there's actually...
They pulled another statue.
No, there was actually a bit of personality. What they did was they went to government offices, including Luthuli House, and they projected these incredible adverts on it, like vote for the ANC to vote for corruption.
Yeah, let's grow... And, what is it? Grow corruption
grow
together.
Grow corruption together on Luthuli House.
ANC colors.
It's what we call chutzpah. It was, I couldn't believe it. And that came from the DA. So I was actually, it put a smile
quite
on my
impressed.
Face. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, social media certainly has got nothing else to say but elections. 57% of our conversation is, about elections and electioneering. And wow, like it's crazy out there. I mean, if you have a look at the one of the slides we've produced, you know, we do the country in a slide. Mm, so we put everything in one place. And the biggest bubbles on that slide are vote EFF, vote ANC, our land, our jobs now, grow South Africa, EFF final push. And there's nothing else to talk about, guys. And certainly the one thing that's worrying me more than anything is voter apathy. I'm still hearing a lot of people say, no, I'm not going to vote. I don't know who to vote for. And I really want to urge everybody out there, get out and vote. Spoil your vote if you have to. It doesn't matter.
Just
but people
go.
Died for this right. Go out and make your mark, albeit a spoiler mark. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah. Just get up. Just go and do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's interesting because Lindy and I were talking about it a little bit earlier. It's one of the first times that we are seeing such we could use the word indecision, but it's actually contemplation.
Yes.
And it's a sign of maturity in terms of us as voters, that we're not just voting for the party we've always voted for. Yeah. We are actually thinking about this.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And never has there been a bigger opportunity for the little guys, you know? Mm. The small parties certainly have an opportunity to capitalize now. And I think, Howard, you know, even me, like, I don't know where to put my vote. I really don't. Mm. You know, there is this undercurrent theme that if you're voting for the ANC, that you're voting for President Ramaphosa. And yeah, that may be true, but we don't know. You know, you have a look at the ANC top six and you think, well, am I being duped? You know, by the
I've gone through this. In fact, I think you and I have gone through something quite similar in the sense that when Cyril Ramaphosa stood up, I became a massive, and I still am a massive fan of Cyril Ramaphosa. I really have to say it. I think he's incredible, but he is not his party. And for that reason, I don't think that I will be voting ANC because I'm very, when I look at the list, it worries me. That said, I can see what he's done. He's achieved a lot. He has, I mean, I put the question to Musi Mamani and I said to him, but he has replaced the NPA and he has taken control of the Hawks and he has done all of these things. And, Musi Mamani's answer to me was, but Howard, that's like praising a fish for being able to swim. That's what they were meant to do.
You're right.
Which was a great perspective. So that's where I am as well. And, but the point is that I absolutely love the fact that South Africans are, we aren't, you know, what you see in America is so clear. You're a Democrat or you're a Republican.
Exactly.
And no matter what anybody does, if you're a Democrat, they can do no wrong. If you're a Republican, they can do no wrong. And here we are thinking about it. We are contemplating it. Our votes are open to contemplation, and I love it.
Absolutely. It is a sign of a growing democracy. It certainly is. I mean, if we look at the elections chart, so we've done, Acumen's done a projection for the elections. It's almost, if you like, a social media poll. Mm. And you can see that the volumes there belong to the ANC. But when it comes to the quality of coverage, it's a very different conversation. So if you look at the big three, 36% to the ANC, 28% to the EFF. Now, don't be alarmed. That is due to the high volume of conversation. And, of course, Malema makes big media. That's what he does.
And he does. I think we can expect more of that ahead of the elections. He's going to become more and more outrageous in his statements in order to gather that, to harness that conversation. I'm convinced of
that. Yeah. You're so right. A DA coming in at 12.8%, and then the BLF comes in at 12%. Yeah. And that's because, were they deregistered, or what was the story there? Like,
I think they aren't deregistered.
So the FF Plus took them to the IEC, whatever, but they were not deregistered. I think one of our headlines.
So you're going to be able to vote for the BLF?
So one of our headlines this week was that, they can still run for the elections. And I think the FF Plus is trying to, contest that ruling.
Just leave them. They're going to get three votes. They're going to lose their deposit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like the Cape Party. Have you seen this party?
No.
I don't understand
which
that one.
Which one?
Cape.
The Cape Party. It's called the Cape Party. And if they come in, take Cape Town out of South Africa, or the Cape out of South Africa. Like, they got my vote.
That's so funny. Yeah, there'll be a vast amount of immigration from Gauteng at that point.
Exactly. But just back to the elections for a minute. I mean, so you see the volume coming through for the ANC, but what is fascinating is that they have got the least negative sentiment of all the political parties out there, which is, it's
fascinating. That is interesting. Wow.
They've got 24% negative, the DA 36.4% negative, and the EFF 32.9% negative. So everybody's battling for that top of the pile. But and if we look at the political heads, you see, this is the thing, is Ramaphosa comes out right on top. 42.4% with a net sentiment as the highest amongst the big three of -13%. His closest competitor is Musi Maimane at -44%.
Wow.
So it's a big gap
in
what people think of Ramaphosa and what they think of Maimane. And I mean, Malema doesn't even make the top 10. He's got such a negative sentiment. So it's fascinating to see these statistics come out, Howard. And it's an interesting time to be alive in this country.
It really
good heavens.
Is. Absolutely. Yeah, Caster Semenya, I would imagine, was a big story on the charts.
Oh, what on earth, guys? Yeah, I don't get it.
Just leave her alone.
I don't get it at all. 19.3% to hands off Caster. South Africa certainly taking to social media, expressing their exasperation. I mean, come on. Like, you've got people there being praised because they've got great lung capacity, or they've got long legs, or
well, that's
whatever.
What we were saying
and
yesterday.
Here comes Caster.
We had, Raymond Hack on. He's an expert in this, and he was saying he said it was so clearly targeted towards her because, you know, it was just her events that they've ruled this. It wasn't even a ruling across the board. So,
right.
it's definitely a lot of, but you even got the sense that they weren't comfortable with their own ruling. It's like they can't figure this one out, it would seem.
Well, I mean, it certainly South Africa feels, and I think they're right, that Caster Semenya has been victimized here, and that she's been targeted. And she came out very strongly saying that she will fight it. But it's a stranger story. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And, Caster Semenya coming in at 19.3%. So between her and the election, we've got a good 72% of the conversation in South Africa, and everything else sort of fades into the background. We've got the usual suspects. State Capture Inquiry is still up there. Boyson's testimony yesterday was fascinating.
I didn't
Putting
see that.
Zuma right in the firing line. Didn't
he? Wow. I didn't see that yesterday.
Absolutely. Okay. He spoke about the NPA and how they were orchestrated to make sure that Zuma stayed free. And that made a big impact.
Wow.
And then Workers' Day. I mean, Workers' Day sort of came and went, and nobody mentioned it.
So we got that sense as well, because we were on air, and it was virtually impossible to generate a conversation around it. Nobody
nobody wanted to talk. It's
no,
true.
No.
I think we're just grateful for the day off. Well, me too, I worked, but right. It was almost like a damp squid. And then my favorite stories on the chart. Let's talk about your favorite races.
Oh my word. And he's now having a funeral to bury his DSTV decoder. Has this guy lost his mind?
So Steve Hoffmeyer was banned by MultiChoice this week, and he took to social media and took his decoder outside and drove over with his bucky.
Of course it was with a bucky.
Yeah,
right.
Of course it was with a bucky. Then climbed on the roof, pulled out the satellite dish and chucked it on the ground, which was a little bit disappointing. It didn't quite.
Yeah, it didn't break the way it should have. Yeah, yeah.
I think he had a vision of what it would do, and it just totally failed.
Well, that's how also you know that no Jewish community could get behind, because we can't climb on roofs. We don't know how to dismantle our dish. We'd have to call somebody to do it, and then it's not.
Listen, I need you to come take this down.
Right, exactly.
And then I'm going to throw it.
Yeah.
Right. Steve Hoffmeyer certainly making an impact on the charts, but only because we laughed.
Yeah.
South Africa, I saw articles saying, when will Afrikaners step away from Steve Hoffmeyer? I think they have. I think they have a long time ago.
I think
he's got like a party of 20 that runs around the AfriForum people.
No, well, not only that, so I wrote an article yesterday where I said that, oh gosh, I got myself into hot water. I said we need to ban the hell out of the old South African flag. It's offensive.
Yes.
The same as we banned the Germany banned the swastika. Just ban it. It represents oppression. It represents racism. Well, the reaction, and you know, there's a lot of people tweeting. Oh, you have no idea the hate mail that I've received overnight. But the interesting ones is that a lot of the Twitter people that are attacking me have the hashtag Team Steve.
And they're not even playing, Tanya. They want him to know.
They're leaving no doubt. Hashtag Team Steve. Anyway.
Team Steve, eh?
I have to read you one. I'm sorry, because yes. I just think it is the funniest thing. But I just want to go to it because I did screenshot these things, as one has to. But it was the best comment. Oh, here we go. So somebody says, here's another Nazi, Howard Feldman at News 24. Yeah, because that's where I am.
Nazi.
Yes, a Nazi. Now I'm a Nazi. No one's telling me what to do with my symbols. Where do these arrogant come from? Whatever. Then somebody says, this is the best. I couldn't agree with you more, agreeing with this guy. All statement and another question. Did we avenge the English because of what they did to us? No, we didn't. On the contrary, we shook hands and built one of the best countries ever, because that's what whites do.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, can you
that takes the cup for me.
There's no helping stupid. Stupid is a stupid person.
And by the way, it's hashtag Team Steve.
Of course.
Well, the old South African flag did make an impact this week, albeit not a very big one, but certainly the biggest negative net sentiment. People are absolutely behind the banning of the flag, calling it an apartheid symbol. And AfriForum, again, stepping into the ring as a racist organization, they very, very quickly have framed themselves as the racist amongst us, you know? And that's a tragedy when you see...
Funny, I say that all the time, that I am so disappointed in them. They could have done so much good.
Oh, they absolutely could have. And, you know, when you got Harry Nowell standing there, you think that you could do so much better. They opened up with Robert Mugabe's wife. What's her name?
Disgrace
Mugabe. Yeah. And they were going to take her to court, weren't they? And that's how they started. And we thought, wow, this is an organization that's actually going to do some good with Harry Nowell behind it. And now look.
I really thought that they could do good.
Sad and tragic.
Absolutely.
The rest of the stories, Howard, are very small. You know, like, elections certainly took over the charts, but we've got Eskom in there, we've got Ace Magashule in there, we've got the PRC inquiry, and then finally, and probably the most pertinent, is the Mozambique storm's carnage. my goodness, those people are in a lot of trouble.
Terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And so nearby, that is absolutely frightening. Tanya, I need to put you on hold. Joining us once again, Tanya Khoury. Tanya, good morning again. So those are the big stories happening in South Africa. Anything going on internationally?
It's like dead internationally.
It is.
I know the UK local elections is going on, but like nobody cares. Somebody, Chewbacca died. That's about it. There's my sum up of the international news. But Howard, I have got a lot of stories that didn't make the South African charts.
Oh, like, lovely.
Did you see the resurrection pastor strikes again?
I saw something like that. But hold on, who did he resurrect? No, he didn't resurrect the first guy died. Did you know that?
I think.
Yes, he died. Oh, sorry to laugh.
I know, but as my late mother would say, yay, Vilmos, you want to lie in a coffin and pretend to be dead, that's what's going to happen to you, pal.
Absolutely. You can go and see him do some sort of resurrection or whatever it is he does, healing the sick. 16,000 rand a pop. So that's how he makes his money. Like, I think.
Is he on medical aid? I mean, does Discovery cover him? I don't know. I mean, they should if he's going to make you better.
But I don't understand how someone like this is still allowed to do what they're doing. Like, surely this is not legal. I mean, it's fraud.
I was going to say it's fraud. It's a terrible thing because we do believe, you know, you're a religious person. I'm a religious person. You do believe in a higher power and in prayer and in healing. We do believe that.
Yes.
But you don't need to be silly about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the problem is it actually makes religion look stupid.
Mm.
It really does. It really does. And when you're charging people 16 grand.
Well, there's your first problem. Exactly.
I mean, that's your first alarm bell, guys. Like, don't go. Really don't go. And then South Africa's Afrikaans accent is voted the second sexiest in the world. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but hold on. Look who beat us.
Who beat us? I didn't read.
New Zealand. I'm embarrassing.
Oh, okay. So whoever did this study has got a warped sense of what's sexy.
New Zealand, of all things. I mean, tell us France. Tell us Italy. You know, give us something.
Exactly.
I don't know. But New Zealand, for goodness sake, that's just embarrassing.
No, and Afrikaans, like, are you kidding me, guys? What? Like, I don't know. And then we had a bad news story turned good, which should have made more news than it did. And that's a Sibanye. 1,800 workers were trapped underground, and they all came up, and they were all fine. And that's a record for South Africa. We should be celebrating that. But certainly that didn't make the charts either. So, and the petrol price, Howard.
That didn't make the charts. It's almost like we are beaten into submission in South Africa. That, another one, and we carry on.
Yeah.
You know,
make
that belt a little tighter and off we go. But, it's actually quite incredible that it made no headlines.
You know, and 50 cents, like really, like you don't make small jumps, guys. You make huge jumps.
And a week before the elections, which is interesting.
Yes, and exactly a week before the elections. But it's almost like you said, we just say, oh, okay, that's how it is today, and we move on instead of making a fuss about it. I personally have moved most of my meetings to online because you just can't afford to be driving around Joburg all day.
Absolutely. Crazy.
That's crazy.
The impact and, of course, the knock-on effect of fuel on food delivery, on everything is horrific when we look at what is going on with the petrol price.
Yeah, for sure. And another story that probably should have made the charts and didn't, and that's Shiraz Mohammed, still being held captive.
Yes.
It's over a year that we start with when we last saw the story, and we haven't done anything about it. You know, we forgot about him.
What is the latest there? I know that Gift of the Givers have been very, very involved in trying to negotiate the release, but is there no progress here? I mean, it's a year.
A year does permanent damage
to somebody. You know, this like a. You just worry how someone ever comes right after that, presuming they can be saved.
Well, apparently, with the story from Lindiwe Sisulu is that they can't talk about it because it might impact negatively on him, you know. Right. And we get that, but a year, guys, a year, and we're still having this conversation doesn't make any sense to me. And so those are the stories that should have made noise, and they didn't. And that's largely due to the elections just completely taking over our social media timeline.
Absolutely unbelievable. The other one, actually, Tony, that I wanted to tell you about is it's now on Business Insider, and it affects you in two ways. One is because it's an attack on the Muslim community in China, but it's also a social media thing. And it turns out that the Chinese authority are reportedly using an app to monitor Muslims in the Xi'an province and to see if they match 36 person types deemed dangerous. So I thought that that's fascinating, because that's almost taking some of the software, some of the ideas that you use in order to track social media, but they are using it very, very specifically to track Muslim behavior in the province. And I think that is such an important story. And again, another one that we just ignore. We just ignore.
I mean, I don't know how that works, and I would worry about, you know, computers, Howard, can only do so much, you know, and when it comes to facial recognition, it's all very impressive, and targeting a geolocation is all very impressive. But the thing is social media can only be predicted by machines to a certain level. And then you have to bring a human being into it. I mean, I see it in my own data. You can have a look at the negative perception of somebody like Alta. When you speak about Alta, they're always talking about corruption and tax abuse, etc. So the negative sentiment comes through really strongly, but it's not about the organization.
Right,
you've got to have a human being to say, okay, that's not right. The machine is recognizing this, but it may be right from the machine's perspective, but it's certainly not right from our human perception perspective. So always worry about these technology things that are used to identify terrorists and that sort of thing. It doesn't quite, it scares me a little bit.
The important thing here is it's not monitoring terror. This is just monitoring people. It's monitoring. It's got nothing. The Chinese government have decided that they are, but it's, and in fact, Human Rights Watch have now come out with a release, with a report they did yesterday, and they said that they obtained a copy of a mass surveillance app used by the police in Jiangjing. That's home to 13 million Muslims, as well as other, it's Uyghur, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, Muslims, plus other minority Muslim groups, and they are all subject to unprecedented surveillance measures.
Wrong. What, because of your religious choice?
Yes, so that's why I'm saying to you, this is a very important story, that you've got 13 million people being surveyed, under surveillance in China. They've been monitored in all sorts of areas of their lives, simply because of religion. And I think this is a massive, massive and very important story. I think, I don't believe it's one that anybody from any religion should be ignoring. I think it's that important.
Absolutely. You know, Howard, I don't know how you see it, but I've been watching the news media over the past few years, and it just gets worse. This religious, pointing out of religious disparities has become so big across social media and across the world. Like it's almost as if you're in a camp. You're either a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, and you put into boxes and then judged. I've never seen it so high as it is now.
Absolutely,
we're working backwards, guys.
Desperately worried about the trend that is happening, and we need to change it. We do need to leave it there, Tanya Kuru. We can do this, talk about this for hours, and we really should, because it is that important. But I do have to speak to Rolene Marks. You have a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Time is 7:46.